Welcome to He Changed the World from Forest Baptist Church, a series of talks about Jesus Christ from Mark's Gospel, recorded by me, David Last. Talk number 40, War, Mark chapter 10 verse 46 through to chapter 11 verse 11. War. On his hit single, Edwin Starr asked, "What is it good for?" The answer he then gave was, "Absolutely nothing." Yet, despite that sentiment, shared by many and arising from the mayhem, destruction and death war has caused, it has been popular through history. Hardly a year goes by without human beings battling with one another somewhere. At the end of Mark chapter 10, Jesus arrives at one of the world's most famous battle sites, Jericho. Hundreds of years earlier, Jesus' ancestors had won a remarkable and unexpected victory there. Who was their general? A man named Joshua, which actually is Jesus' name when pronounced in an older language. So his visit is a moment which ripples with history, and some of the locals probably hope that this new Joshua will also win military victories in this city, particularly against the hated foreign king who currently oversees the area and has a home there. Not only that, Israel's capital city, Jerusalem, isn't far away. So they're probably also hoping that next on his tour will be victory there as well. It's time to fight. Jesus, however, disappoints by moving quickly and peacefully on. But that doesn't stop a disabled man calling him by a name which everyone is probably thinking of, a name with even greater past military honour than Joshua. "Son of David," he calls Jesus. David was a warrior king who ruled Israel with great success about 1,000 years earlier. And in fact, Jesus is truly one of his descendants, so the title isn't amiss. Except Jesus is not here to fight like David. Jesus has no desire to stain his hands with the blood of others that he strikes down. So he ignores the call until the man alters his cry to simply, "Teacher," at which point Jesus steps forward to help him. Does Jesus agree then with Edwin Starr? Is war good for absolutely nothing? No, sometimes war is needed in a world of criminality, evil and injustice to prevent those simply dominating everything. Sometimes we have to fight for what is right, make war on wickedness. Jesus' attitude in Jericho isn't him showing disrespect to past military commanders, whether his namesake Joshua or his ancestor David. However, Jesus is making an important point. Military adventures may bring small victories that slightly improve life for a while, but they can never overcome the evil in the heart of humanity. They can only push it back down for a time. If you really want to change the world forever, you need something much more powerful, a victory like no other. Hence, Jesus' refusal to be the king, the leader the people want. Earlier, he showed that by turning down a volunteer army of 5,000 men. Now, he won't be a new Joshua, a new David, in the way the people desire. He must be a new type of king. To show this, Jesus has prearranged a special event. Using code words, he sends two friends to collect a colt from a village which he intends on riding into Jerusalem. This is odd. A pilgrimage festival is taking place, which means folks should walk into the city. But Jesus breaks the protocol with electrifying effect, and the crowd goes wild. They declare Jesus is warrior king after all. They form a guard of honour for him and lay out a carpet on the road of their cloaks. Then they cheer, calling him the Son of David, like the earlier man, and singing an ancient victory song. Yet Jesus lets them down. Once the parade is over, he has a look round, and then he leaves. It's so disappointing for many. But for those with eyes to see, Jesus is deliberately presenting himself as a king of a different sort. Jesus will come back, but it will be to sacrifice himself. He will return with little support and a traitor alongside, allowing himself to be trapped by his enemies and executed. And to them, it will seem as though his approach to war was good for absolutely nothing. But actually, it will be the greatest victory the world has ever seen. How? Because by dying, Jesus will protect others from death. You see, what sits behind all our wars and other troubles is sin, which means our rebellion against God, which all of us have taken part in, and the outcome of which is inevitable death. But Jesus died to save all who trust him from sin and the death which follows. He died to win a victory which can truly change the world. What do you think? Could such an idea be true? Is death more than just a natural process? Is it actually part of a judicial process in which we are reaping the consequences of our own bad behaviour? We know we do wrong, but is it really so serious that it deserves death? And is it possible for another, for Jesus, to take our place in death, to give us life? This is the message of the Bible. Will you investigate it further? What do you think? Thanks for watching. Before the video ends, you'll hear the passage in Mark's Gospel. So listen, pray, and then come back for the next video.
Then they came to Jericho. As Jesus and his disciples, together with a large crowd, were leaving the city, a blind man, Bartimaeus, that is, the son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside begging. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." Many rebuked him and told him to be quiet, but he shouted all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Jesus stopped and said, "Call him." So they called to the blind man, "Cheer up, on your feet, he's calling you." Throwing his cloak aside, he jumped to his feet and came to Jesus. "What do you want me to do for you?" Jesus asked him. The blind man said, "Rabbi, I want to see." "Go," said Jesus, "your faith has healed you." Immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus along the road. As they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethphage and Bethany at the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two of his disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and just as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you doing this?' tell him, 'The Lord needs it, and will send it back here shortly.'" They went and found a colt outside in the street, tied at a doorway. As they untied it, some people standing there asked, "What are you doing untying that colt?" They answered as Jesus had told them to, and the people let them go. When they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their cloaks over it, he sat on it. Many people spread their cloaks on the road, while others spread branches they had cut in the fields. Those who went ahead and those who followed shouted, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David. Hosanna in the highest." Jesus entered Jerusalem and went to the temple. He looked around at everything, but since it was already late, he went out to Bethany with the 12.